Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here today. Thank you for welcoming me and my family again. Every time that we have been here, our family has felt very welcomed, and I appreciate that. Thank you for just being so hospitable to us. It is just this morning, we spent time, my name is Joel, and I'm one of the pastors at Big Valley. We spent time praying for your church family this morning. We do that every weekend at 5:15 on Saturday and at 8:15 on Sunday morning. We name by name pastors and churches in our town. We spend time praying. And so this morning we did the same. And Pastor Rick, he led our time praying for your church. And we had a great time praying for your church. And then he asked a question later in the gathering, who was going to be teaching out at Renew? And I said, it's going to be me. And he said, oh, well, we're going to need to pray some more then. So prayed some more. So apparently the leadership of your church has now three times made the mistake of having me here. So you can blame them for how poor I do today. But I am glad to be here. And it is a real joy. And we are in the scriptures. If you need a copy of the Word of God, you don't have one with you today. We have folks here who have Bibles. They're coming down the aisle. And they would love to put a copy of the Word of God in your hand. And that might be available to you as we open up the scriptures. We're in a series here at Renew Church in 1 Peter. And so if you want to take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter, you can do that. And as we're looking at what this letter is that Peter wrote to a group of people, observing what it was, observing what the text says, observing what it means, what it's to be interpreted as, and then looking to how do we apply that to our lives. And it's a great joy that we have the great privilege, really, to hold the scriptures in our hands, that we might have the truth. We are surrounded in a world that is full of deceit. And there is lies and deceit all around us. And in this moment right here, you have in your hands the truth of the Word of God. And how reassuring that you don't have to wonder about what you're going to read in the Bible that you hold. You don't got to wonder if it's going to be true or not, because the truth of the Word of God is in your hands. And what a great gift that God has given us, that we might have certainty and assurance that we're building our lives on a correct foundation, and it would be on Him. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to get into the Word together. Father God, Lord, thank you for the clear blessing that you're pouring out on Renew Church, Lord. Thank you for the financial update, God. Thank you for the resources that you are using in this location, in this local body, to be a blessing, not only to each other in the body here, but to be reaching out into the community and to be serving others in love. Lord, thank you for the ministry updates and the work that you're doing here. God, we pray that this morning we might continue to gain a proper understanding of who you are, that we might be in right relationship with you and in right response to you. And so, God, as we spend time in the scriptures, Lord, would you speak loudly? And would you be so clear to us? And would you help us understand? And would you help us respond and live appropriately? And so, Lord, we love you and pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's family said, amen. Okay, so we're going to be in 1 Peter. And last week, my understanding is you began in 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be picking it up in verse 13 today. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 20. I'll read through to 21 as well. And this is what the scriptures say. Peter writes, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit and fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves, also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he, Christ, was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So as we walk through this passage, he begins and he says, therefore. Therefore is a hinge word. Therefore connects what just happened with what's about to happen. Therefore connects the idea that was just presented with the idea that is following. And for us to understand the first idea, we've got to jump back into the first section here in 1 Peter in verses 3 through 5. Because in verses 3 through 5, we can kind of get a glimpse of what was idea 1 that precedes therefore, so that we can understand idea 2 that follows the term therefore as it hinges between these two ideas. And in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, he says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So here is idea one, that therefore is hinging to idea two. Idea one is this: because you have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, if that is true about you, I hope it would be. I hope that you would decide to place your faith in Jesus Christ if you haven't already. Today would be a fantastic day to do that. It'd be the best way to spend your day, is to place your full hope and your full faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation. But he's speaking to those who have done that. And he says, because you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your salvation, you are born again to a living hope. So you're a child of God. You've been born again to a living hope. You are a child of God. And you have received a heavenly inheritance, which means you are an adopted child of God. He is clearly identifying right now that there is a legal standing that has occurred as a child of God that has enabled you to access the full inheritance that you have of being a part of the family of God. And so you are not just a child of God, but you're an adopted child of God, because you have the full legal access to the inheritance that God has for you. And then he says you're protected by the power of God through faith. And so you are a powerfully protected, adopted child of God. You, I'm going to say it again, you are a powerfully protected, adopted child of God. So therefore, because of idea one, which is you are a powerfully protected, adopted child of God, here's idea two. Therefore, in verse 13, he says, therefore, prepare. He hinges. This is what's true about your life. You're a powerfully protected, adopted child of God. Therefore, prepare. We've got an action to take. And the word that he chooses to use to introduce that action, he chooses to use the word prepare. Now, here's the reality in this, is that God already did all the heavy lifting. All right, God already did all the hard work in this scenario here, because that's what idea one is all about. It says that God caused us to be born again to a living hope. God did it. That's what it says. God did it. God caused us. God did the hard part of bringing you to salvation and bringing me to salvation. However, there's an invitation here for us to respond. That's what the therefore is. It's hinging, and it's saying, because God did this, prepare. And this is what idea two is all about. It's what God has done and how we're going to respond to what God has done, what he has accomplished, and it's in this word, prepare. If you see me fling my arms violently, it's because I think there's demon-possessed flies that are flying around my head right now. And so let's just get open and honest, because I heard we value transparency here. Okay, so we're just getting that out there. Flies die in the name of Jesus. Okay, prepare. Prepare for what? What is it that we are to prepare for? Well, we're to prepare for action. Now, as we understand the cultural context of what Peter is speaking to, who he's speaking to, where he is living, it would have looked like, what would it have looked like for them to prepare for action? What practically, what would preparing for action be? Well, it's in the same sense as a military term, that they would prepare for being physically engaged in the battle. And in this culture, they would have been wearing free-flowing garments. Literally, their clothing would have been free-flowing garments. And these garments would have been difficult to go into battle unless they made an adjustment to this garment. And so preparing for action, they would engage in a process called girding up their loins, to where they would take the free-flowing garment, you know, and literally gather it up. And then secure it, kind of tie it up and gather it up and secure it and tie it up. And that way they were prepared for action, that they could move. Literally girding up the loincloths. That way the free-flowing garments, that they'd be secured and they'd be tightened up. And that way nothing is loose. And that's the key here, is that nothing is loose. Because when they go into battle, they want to be prepared. They want to be prepared for action. And there's not things that are loose getting in the way. And so as Peter, he writes, he introduces these two very important concepts. Idea one being, you are this. You are a powerfully protected, adopted child of God. So idea two, it is time to get ready. Because God has an action plan for your life. And so, let's unpack this idea too, this idea of preparing, because God has something for you, that God would have us get ready for the action plan that he has for our life. Because the first thing he says is prepare your mind. He says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. So, preparing for action, your mind. Literally, gird up the loins of your mind for battle. Have things gotten loose in your thinking? Have things gotten loose in your mind? Are there some free-flowing thoughts that keep your mind from being ready for battle? Well, it's time to tighten up your thinking. It's time to prepare your mind for action. Don't allow the thoughts of your flesh or the arrows of the enemy to get you distracted. Stay focused. Get ready for battle in your mind. The second thing he says is preparing your spirit. He says, keep sober in spirit. Preparing for action, your spirit. Literally, keep the Holy Spirit of God in control of your life. That the Holy Spirit of God would be the one who is in control of your life. Have things gotten loose in your spirit? Are there some free-flowing issues that are inebriating you, keeping your spirit from being battle-ready? Well, it's time to tighten up your spirit. Prepare your spirit for action. And don't allow the desires of your flesh or demonic influences that are surrounding you to get your spirit distracted. Stay focused and get ready for battle in your spirit. And then the third thing, he says, preparing your hope. He says, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Prepare for action. Your hope. Establish your full trust and your full reliance on the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Have things gotten loose in where you are placing your hope? Are there some free-flowing places of trust that you have allowed your heart to go out to that are keeping your hope from being ready for action, ready for battle? Well, it's time to tighten up the places where you're trusting and the places where you're setting your hope. And don't allow the temptation of the enemy to entrust yourself completely to other people, to where you'd set your hope and your trust in them. or the schemes of the devil to get your hope distracted, but stay focused and get battle ready with your hope. Now, all of this is possible because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. It's because Jesus Christ has already done the work of grace that we can prepare our minds for action, that we can keep sober in spirit, that we can fix our hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then to confirm that this is really all because of what God has done, he throws in a reminder of idea one. And he says in verse 14, as obedient children. Remember, we just talked about this, but remember, as obedient children, you belong to a family. You are a powerfully protected, adopted child of God. Don't forget what God has accomplished on your behalf. Remember who you really are. And then he goes on with, as obedient children, in verse 14, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours, and he says, in your ignorance. So in other words, remember, you child of God, you adopted child of God, remember, you powerfully protected, adopted child of God, remember who you are as an adopted child of God, and don't turn to what you formerly were. Well, what were you formerly? Well, you were a masterfully manipulated and deceived child of the devil, and don't go back there. Because that's not who you are. Because you're something different now. And so remember who you are. And don't go back to what you formerly were. And this is why we need to prepare our mind and our spirit and our hope. We need to get ready for God's action plan. We're expecting the plan that God has, the action he has planned for our lives to be about. Otherwise, we're going to forget. We're going to forget who we are. And we're going to slide right back into a sinful lifestyle that we were rescued from. When we didn't know any better. And Peter says that we were ignorant at that time. But we know better now. We're not ignorant any longer because we have Christ. We have the truth of the word of God. And so we can't claim that we don't know because we do know. We have him. We know him. We have his word. We've placed our faith in Christ and we've been redeemed. And so don't go chasing down who you aren't anymore. There's no reason to chase down the old self. When you became a child of God, you were removed from the family of the devil. So don't go back. Don't go back moving in. Now, once you've tightened up your mind, don't open the front gate for the devil. Now, I want to make a distinction here of what I'm saying. First of all, there is absolute security for the life of the believer. When you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, God has done a sealing work, a redeeming work, a sealing work by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can't do anything to screw that up. Okay, so when he brings salvation to you, it was not of you. Otherwise, you'd be boasting about it. That's what Ephesians says. So you did nothing to bring salvation to yourself. It was a work completely of God. He is the one who has done all the work, and he's done all the saving, and he's doing all the keeping. God is the one who has got you secure. You're in the hand of God, and that which is in his hand will not be taken away. But we have a choice to make of what are we going to do with our minds? What are we going to do with our spirit? Where are we going to place our hope? And that's what we're addressing here. What God has done to bring us into the family of God cannot be reversed. But how I choose to live as a child, that's a choice that I'm making. And so how am I going to live in response to what is true about my life? Now, once you've tightened up your mind, follow this train of thought with me. Once you've tightened up your mind, don't open the front gate back up for the devil. And let his demons to come walk right back in. I can't do anything about a bird flying over my head or the flies that are flying around my face right now, right? But I'm trying to keep them from making a nest and a home in my hair right now, right? I can't do anything about the thoughts that are coming into my mind a million a second, right? I mean, the thoughts are just coming all day. You're thinking about stuff and you're going, that's a good thought. Where'd that come from? That was bad. Ooh, that was nasty. I can't do anything. The thoughts are flying, right? Some of the thoughts are coming from my own flesh. Some of them are coming from arrows of the enemy. But the thoughts are coming. And I can't do anything about the fact that there's thoughts. There's so many thoughts. They're coming all the time. But which ones am I going to choose to dwell on? Which one am I going to camp out in? How am I going to say, okay, that's a thought I'm going to capture right there. I'm going to hone in on that one, and I'm going to meditate and hone in on that one. Is it going to be something that is positive and it's for Christ and it's of his truth? Or am I going to begin to dwell on something that's sinful and it's negative? The longer that I entertain a thought, the stronger it gets, and it's the harder to remove. Once you've tightened up your spirit, don't open the back door for the flesh to get fed. It's one thing to drive past a bar. I drive past him. I drove past a bar on the way here. I drove past a bunch of bars on the way here. It's another thing to go park my car right in front of that bar. It's a different thing to get out of my car and then go sit down at the stool and belly up. It's a whole other thing to then submit my life to alcohol in that moment, to where I have lost my sobriety and I've become inebriated. The choice to lose my sobriety was not during round three. The choice to lose my sobriety was made when I was driving in the car. That's where I made the choice of whether I was going to be drunk today or not. We have to protect ourselves because there's things that we can do to stop from ending up inebriated. And it starts while we're still driving in the car. And once God has done this great work to tighten up our minds and to tie up our spirit, that we would be controlled by the Holy Spirit, it is futile then to make a decision to want to submit to the control of the enemy or to open up the influences and let them in and to welcome them in. It's just really a bad decision. And he's encouraging us, don't do that. Don't do that. Prepare for action. Prepare your minds for battle and keep sober in spirit. Or what about our hope? Don't open up the bedroom door to entrust yourself completely to someone else and to set your hope on that person. That you would see yourself as being in control by another person. Christ is wanting to be the complete control of your life. And the encouragement is, this is what God has done for you. And so in your minds and in your spirit and in your hope, recognize who it is and what it is that God has done in your life. Therefore, respond and live that way. Because it's what's true about you. And you need to believe what is true about you. Because you've been powerfully protected and you're an adopted child of God. And God's done a great work. And so since that is true, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in your spirit and fix your hope completely. And then he gives us a key and he says in verse 15, but like the Holy One who called you, be yourselves holy in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So what is this action that we've been getting prepared for? Well, it's to live, and I'll say this, to live in relational reflection of our Heavenly Father. It's to live in relational reflection of our Heavenly Father. It starts with relationship because he says, but the one who called you, God called us. He initiated a relationship with us. He reminds us of this relationship and this relational connection we have with Creator God. And then he brings us back to idea one. Hey, you remember who you are. God has brought you into his family. And Peter, he's not afraid to continue to remind over and over and over the same thing. I've got a kid or a few of them. And I sometimes have to remind my kids to do the same thing. I don't know, maybe that's just an experience that I have in my family. Maybe that you guys don't ever have to remind anybody in your family to do the same thing again. But I'm like, shut the door, turn the light off, flush the toilet. Remember to wash your hands. Please wash your hands. Wash your hands. No, really, wash your hands this time. Over and over and over. And Peter, he's just reminding us over and over and over. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. Therefore, live this way because this is who you are. So live this way. And he says that we might be holy as he is holy. Now, the thing that could be confusing here in this moment that we have a danger of thinking is that somehow this holiness is going to get stirred up on my own power. And that's going to be frustrating for you. If you're trying to figure out this holiness thing within yourself, that's going to be frustrating. You're going to get real discouraged real quick because you're going to dig and you're going to stir and you're going to do good for a day or maybe half a day or maybe a second, and then you're going to fail. And you're like, man, I've been trying to be holy. Where's this? That's why he says, but just as your Heavenly Father is holy, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God's holy. He's the one that's holy. He's the one that's holy, and he's the one that's doing a work in you. He's the one that's holy. He's the one that's doing a work in you. And so we're going to live in relational reflection of our Heavenly Father because God's the one who's holy. And we're just responding to who he is. We're not responding to who we are. We're sinful enemies of God before he came and redeemed us. He's the one who's holy, and we're living in reflection of who he is. And so if I want holiness to be a part of my life, then I've got to be in relationship with the one who is holy and allow him to do a great work in my life, that he would change my life to be like him, that he would do the work to be like him, that we would understand that he is the one who is initiating this and he is the one who is doing the work. And he says, he goes on, he says, if you address the Father as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, in verse 17, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold or the futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. So in other words, if we're living in relational reflection of our Heavenly Father, then we're to live reverently redeemed by the blood of our Savior. We're to live reverently redeemed by the blood of our Savior. Why? Because this is what it took for us to gain access to this relationship. The blood of Jesus Christ was the cost, the purchase price for our redemption. It was the only sufficient payment that God would accept for my sin and your sin. When I see the infinite worth of the blood of Jesus Christ, I stand in shock, because the gift of grace has such an extreme value. And it causes me to humbly acknowledge that I could have never earned it. And I could have never accomplished this on my own. And I definitely don't deserve it. So we're invited by Peter to really live in awe, really in reverence, in respect, in honor. He uses the term in fear, that we would conduct ourselves appropriately as recipients of such a priceless gift, that we would live in relational reflection of our Heavenly Father, and that we would live reverently redeemed by the blood of our Savior. And this is what God's plan has been for you. In verse 20, he goes on, he says, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but God appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Right now, do you see yourself as powerfully protected by God? Do you see yourself as powerfully protected by God? Do you recognize that you have the full legal rights and privileges as a child of God? That you have access to that? Are you preparing your minds for the action plan that God has for your life? Are you preparing your spirit and setting your hope fully trusting in Jesus Christ today? Are you enjoying the relational connection that you have with your Heavenly Father? Do you want to be like Dad? Do you want to be like Dad, reflecting your Heavenly Father? Are you treasuring this precious gift of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you? Do you hold it in high value? Do you sense an awe and a reverence that's motivating you to want to respond because of who God has made you to be? Therefore, you want to live in response to him, because you are a powerfully protected, adopted child of God. And you're to get ready for the action plan that he has for your life by preparing your mind, girding it up, girding up the loins of your mind, being sober in your spirit and fixing your hope and your trust completely on Jesus Christ, that your full trust and reliance would be on him, that you would see yourself as living in relational reflection of your Heavenly Father. If there's anything good that's going to happen in you, it's because he is good, that you're living reverently redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Who you are is a direct result of who God is. And God is holy. And God is up to good in you. Who you are is a direct result of who God is. And God is holy. And God is up to good in you. Father God, Lord, I thank you for who you are. And you are holy. And I thank you, God, that you are up to good in us. Lord, would you continue to be up to good in each of our lives? Lord, in the places where our minds have gotten loose, God, would you help us tighten things up? Lord, in the places where we have been inebriated, would you bring sobriety to us in spirit? God, in the places where we have entrusted ourselves to people and things and ideas that are not you, Lord, would we fix our complete hope on you? God, I am so thankful for the work that you are doing and who we are. It's because of who you are, and you are really good. And so thank you that you are doing good in us. So we submit to you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's family said, amen.